about how the book of Proverbs is there for us to gain wisdom, and honoring God is the beginning of knowledge. In verse 8, we're told something else very important for understanding the book. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So what's important to understand there is the genre of most of the book of Proverbs. It's not prophecy, it's not law, it's not history. Rather, it's a kind of literature that was pretty common in the ancient Near East, and that is most of the book of Proverbs takes the form of wisdom being passed on from a father to a son. Now, that's just the genre. That doesn't mean that fathers are the only source of wisdom or that daughters can't learn from this book. Biblical wisdom applies to all of us. The Proverbs apply to all of us. Notice that the father, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, he tells the son equally, listen to my instruction, and also don't forsake your mother's teaching. She is an equal source of wisdom. And that's up and down the Proverbs. Chapter 6, verse 20 says the same thing. And Lemuel's wisdom that he introduces in chapter 31, he says, is the wisdom which his mother taught him. And then, of course, chapter 31 ends with that famous poem about the woman of noble character. And her wisdom is one of the main things that is praised about her in that poem. And, of course, the climax of that poem is when it says that it's a woman who honors God who is to be praised. She honors God. That's the very thing that Proverbs says is the foundation of women. So if our children in this church family are going to learn wisdom, it's not just dad who needs to be wise, it's mom too, definitely. And it's not just mom and dad. Think about Lemuel again, who's passing on the wisdom that his mother gave him. He's passing that now on to his son. So that means it's Nana's wisdom, doesn't it? Similarly, in chapter 4, the father says that he is passing wisdom on to his son, which he himself got from his own father. So that means grandpa's wisdom is important too. The reality is that for anyone, especially our children and young people, for anyone to grow in wisdom, they need to be surrounded by wise people. They need wise people around them to model it and to teach it. So once again, as a father, I'm asking you, my church family, to be wise so that my kids will be surrounded by wisdom and they themselves can learn from you and follow your example. How can we then, as a family at Bedford Community Church, take seriously that responsibility to help these young people that God has put in our care to grow into wise and godly people themselves? And how about this? Why? Why is it so important for kids to be wise? Well, the main reason is that it's good for them. Proverbs sees teaching wisdom to children as protection. It's the whole point of discipline, in fact, in the book of Proverbs. The word discipline in our culture is treated like a negative word, like it's a bad thing. But good discipline is actually intensely positive. It is there to protect and safeguard children from their own foolishness, the same way wisdom and discipline can protect us from our foolishness too. So when little baby Nora reaches out to touch the PowerPoint or to grab a pair of scissors, I am going to hold her hand back. Not because I want to spoil her fun, but because I want to protect her. I know that it's not wise to stick your little finger in a PowerPoint, but Nora hasn't learned that yet. But similarly, I have to take steps to prevent my older kids sometimes from doing foolish things. And that, again, is because I love them and I want to protect them. I want to protect them, this is the point, from the even worse consequences that they might face if I just let them be fools. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death." If we adults don't help these kids here in this room with us today, if we don't help them make good decisions as they grow up with money and work and relationships and alcohol and sex and everything else that real life is full of, if we don't help them learn to make wise decisions there, then they'll make foolish decisions which might even cost their lives. And that goes for all of us again. It's not just parents. It's not just the Travis kids that I love. It's the Annette Stewarts and the Royces and the Taylors, all of them. The Munis. I love all the kids here. And in the same way, you don't have to have children. Or you might have children who are grown up, or whatever it is. But please, as my family in the church, don't be a party to my kids' deaths. Help them learn wisdom and protect them from foolishness. I come to many of you in this room for advice sometimes because of your wisdom. So what if my children come to one of you? Or what if they see how you're living? Are you going to teach and show wisdom? We who are parents of children in the church, we need to be able to count on you. And our kids need to be able to count on you too. In the household of God, you are all my kids' grandparents and uncles and aunts. In Jesus' death and his resurrection, he has not only saved us from our sin, as amazing and gracious and important as that is, he has not only saved us from our sin, but he has also made us children of God. And if we all have the same Father, then we're brothers and sisters. We're family in Christ in a way that is far deeper than being family in blood. My kids are your kids. And your kids are my kids. So if our kids see us bearing grudges, gossiping, dishonoring our marriages, being lazy, neglecting God's word, or any of the other acts of foolishness that Proverbs warns us against, if that's what our kids see us doing, what do they learn from us? Not wisdom. But what if they see us being peaceful? What if they see us being respectful, God-fearing, hard-working, generous, and kind? We can teach these kids wisdom with our words and also with our lives. We can show them wisdom and model it to them. And here's something I'm finding is very, very important as my kids are getting older. I have to become less of a guardian and more of a guide. And I don't have a choice, I have to. Deb and I make virtually all of Nora's decisions for her. But we make virtually none of Jonathan's decisions for him. A day is coming when Johnny will be legally an adult and even, hopefully one day, move out of our house. But when that day comes, we will not be able to make any of his decisions for him. So how do we serve him best now on the way to that day? I've had to learn that I can't just tell my kids what the right thing is to do. I can't just tell my kids what the right thing is to do. I could do that for Nora, maybe. But gradually, as they get older, I've got to do better than that. I have to learn to guide them into making wise decisions for themselves so that wisdom will last when they're on their own. You've all heard, give a man a fish and he eats for a day, teach him to fish and he eats for a lifetime. Well, you can make the wisest decision in the world that you want for your kid today, and he'll be okay tomorrow. But if you teach a kid how to make her own wise decisions, then she'll be wise for the rest of her life. So how do you teach someone to become wise? Well, let me ask you this. How did you learn to be wise? Because I don't know about you, but I've found that one of the best ways that I've learned wisdom is by doing foolish things. I learn from my mistakes, especially when someone wise is there to help me figure out how I could have done better and how I can do better next time. As our kids get older, We've got to be ready to let them be foolish sometimes. The trick is to find the right balance at each stage of their development. And here, as a parent too, I need your help. Some of you already have had teenagers and young adults and maybe even now grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So I can come to you for wisdom as my kids age into the ranges where your kids have been. I can learn from your wisdom and your mistakes instead of making my own. And then maybe, as the Houston kids or the Annette Stewart kids, they become teenagers, maybe then the Travises and the Royces and the Taylors will be there to help them too. And any of you here in this room, even if you don't have children of your own, you had parents. And sometimes your parents were wise, and sometimes your parents were foolish. So you too can help those of us who are parents to be wise about it. Anyway, the trick, it seems to me, as my kids get older, is finding that right balance and making a wise transition between guardian and guide. Any of my kids who is still at home under my guardianship needs to know that if necessary, I will put my foot down and prevent a foolish decision. But sometimes I have to help them reason through a situation and then let them make their own choice and learn from it. And that's more and more the case as they get older. I've got to transition from guardian to guide. And the hard part is that means they will sometimes make decisions that I think are dead foolish. Our wider culture, by the way, has an inexcusably naive view of children. And let me tell you why I say that. They act like young people are always completely innocent, and so if some young person does something wrong, it must be someone else's fault. You can see this. Say there's a news story online about a person in his teens or his 20s committing some crime. The comments will be chock full of stupid things like, where are the parents? It's the parents' fault. Why did the parents teach him this? That's naive. And like I said, it's inexcusably naive. You can be the best parent in the world and raise your children in the best way possible, and they are still going to make some foolish decisions sometimes, because they're real people and their choices are important. And just like us, they fall short of the glory of God. Which is why, as Christians, we have less excuse than anyone else to be so naive about children. Think about it this way. We ourselves have the greatest father and wisest teacher of wisdom ever, don't we? Our God. But as good a father as God is, don't we, his children, still sometimes make bad decisions? All of us. Maybe put your hand up if you never do. So if even God has foolish children like me, then so will the wisest and best of parents among us. I want to tell you now about one of my proudest moments ever as a father. May's not in the room, so I can just tell you about it. I'm kidding. She gave me her permission, I promise you. May gave me her permission to tell you about this. Most of you know May, and you see her as a fine young woman, and that is exactly what she is. Deb and I are very, very proud of her, and the rest of our kids too. But one morning, May came into our bedroom in tears. She explained that the day before, she and one of her friends had done something wrong, and it was very foolish. Even the best of kids will be foolish sometimes. But that day was actually one of my proudest ever as a dad. And that's because, as foolish and as wrong as what she did was, May came to Mom and Dad for help to make things right. She knew she did wrong. She owned it. She came forward even though she was scared. She needed us to help her learn wisdom from her foolishness, and she knew that she needed us. And that was a very wise thing for her to do. And together we did figure out how to make it right. May learned some wisdom that day by the grace of God. And it's wisdom that will keep her safe from such a foolish decision in the future. So that was one of my proudest moments as a father. Now, I could say the same to one degree or another about all my children. And you can say the same about yours. They are all great kids here. And I really mean that. Even if they're sometimes foolish. So sometimes it's Proverbs 17:21, to have a fool for a child brings grief. And other times it's 23:15, my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. So one major reason why we, the adults here in this church, need to be wise is so we can model wisdom and teach wisdom to those in the church who are younger than we are. So please do take that responsibility seriously. Be wise not just for your sake, but also for theirs and for God's. Now I'm going to finish this morning by actually addressing the kids themselves. You kids and young people, if you've been listening already, that's great, but could I just ask for your attention for a moment? I want to talk to you guys. You kids, you're so important. I need you guys to hear me very clearly here. I love you, and I'm very proud of all of you. Your mom and dad love you, and everybody in this room loves you. God loves you very much. And Jesus loves you so much that he died for you. We grown-ups are going to make sure that we always try to do the right thing and that we teach you how to do the right thing too. And that is our promise to you. Amen? But I need you kids to make a promise too. You kids are important. Your choices that you make are important. You all can do lots and lots of good. But you have got to understand that you can do bad too. Your choices matter. We adults are going to do the best that we can to help you learn to do good. But at the end of the day, you will be making your own choices in your life. You boys are going to decide what kind of men you will be. And you girls are going to decide what kind of women you will be. And ultimately, that is on you. Your choices matter, so make them wise. I need you guys to promise to try to make good decisions. Listen to mom and dad and anyone else who's wise. And most of all, promise to listen to what God says to us in the Bible. Promise to follow Jesus because he's our king. We grown-ups are here to help you. We are going to love you. We are going to do the best that we can to protect you. And we are even going to be here for you when you muck it up. I promise. But sooner or later, it is going to be up to you. So my sons and daughters, and all the rest of you kids here, if your hearts are wise, then our hearts will be glad. And now Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25 will be my blessing on you kids today. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful.